Mark chapter 1 this morning, if you would, please. Brittany got a trumpet for Christmas. So, she's going to be playing a special here anytime. Where'd she go? No, there she is. And if anybody wants to invite me over to your house while she's practicing, that would be fine too. She goes out in the backyard and blesses our neighbors. I love the trumpet, though. I remember, there's a lot of trumpets in the Bible, by the way. A lot of trumpets. And by the way, there's going to be a great trumpet sounding when we go to heaven. We raptured out of this whole wicked world. Amen. It's going to be a trumpet like you ain't never heard before. Not me either. It ain't going to sound like Britney's. It's not going to sound like Britney's trumpet. But I remember growing up, I guess God's trying to tell me something, because my older brother also played the trumpet. And now my daughter's trying to play the trumpet. Trying. She's working on it. And maybe God's trying to get me to learn it too, so I can play y'all a special. Right? Well, anyway, I'll move on from that. But all right, children, let's put our hymnals up. Okay? Go ahead, put them up. Now, we don't have children's church today, because I trust you all to sit still and listen. If you're not sitting still and listening, you know me. I'll come down there where you are. I don't have any problem doing that. Okay? This is church. This is God's house. This is not your living room. This is not your texting time. I'll tear that thing out of your hand. I'll do it. I'll be glad to do it. This is time where you need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. I need to hear from God, whether you need to or you want to or not. And if you're distracting me, then I won't hear from God. There's people in this room, no doubt, that aren't saved. I know that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. You don't want to be responsible, child, for that person going to hell because you distracted them and they couldn't listen. So you can sit in front of a TV for hours and just sit there like a vegetable. So there's no problem with you sitting still and listening to me for, well, a little while. Close to that, but not quite. Mark chapter 1. Stand together, please, quietly. Let me read beginning verse 36. By the way, sooner or later, you're going to have to come to big church. You can't stay in children's church your whole life. Right? Jasani sits still and listens. Don't disappoint me, boy. Jasani sits still and listens. I know if he can do it, y'all can do it. Okay? Mark chapter 1, verse 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. That's a good idea, by the way, to follow after Jesus. When they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away, saith unto him, See thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Nowadays we can't get people to open their mouths about Jesus. Jesus couldn't get people to close their mouths. But let me preach to you back in verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He can, but he doesn't have to. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I ask you today to take control of this service, these hearts, young and old, everything in between. God, we need you to control the nursery, control the distractions, get rid of them, Lord, from our hearts and our minds. Fill us with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, for the lost that are here today, that are without Christ, that are without God in this world, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, lost, dead in their trespasses and sins. I pray, God, that the blood of Christ would be made very plain to them today, that the cleansing power that it still has today, God, would overpower their pride, their fears, their doubts, whatever they may be holding on to, God, and they would see for once, finally, clearly, the precious shed blood of Jesus, the empty tomb, the power to save all souls from sin. God, work today, please. Fill this place with your liberty in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There's nothing too hard for God. I know that you know that. You should know that, by the way. Genesis chapter 18 says, is anything too hard for God? Matthew chapter 19 says, with God all things are possible. Luke chapter 1 says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Just different ways to phrase the same thing, that there is nothing too hard for God to do. There is nothing that God cannot do when it comes to your life, when it comes to my life, when it comes to this universe. There's nothing that God cannot do. I'm here to tell you today, I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Whatever you think God can't do, He can do so much more it will boggle your brain. Whatever you think God cannot do, you need to just forget that thought, because God can do above what you even think that He can do or cannot do. The Bible says that in the beginning God created everything that you see here today. And the Bible says that God said, let there be light, and there was light. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are here today. You have breath in your lungs today. You have a beating heart today because God gave it to you. Amen. God gave it to you. God created you out of the dust, the dirt of this earth. Not a pretty sight. Not a pretty thought. And ladies will say, well, I'm not created out of the dirt. Yes, you were. Adam's rib was dirt. He was made out of dirt. You were. We're all dirt bags. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? But we're saved. We have a soul now that lives in us. Listen, that God has given us, that this old body one day is going to fall off. Dirt bag's going to fall off. Praise God for that. And we're going to be glorified in heaven forever. And God is going to do it because God can. Amen. Because God can. God can. But listen to me. He doesn't have to. The Bible says that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Listen, one day every man is going to understand and finally come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God is all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, omni-everything. All things God can do. And one day all the flesh, all the world, every single person is going to know that finally. God's going to reveal His power to them. But God's already revealed His power to you and to me. God has shown us that He can. But I want to tell you something. No matter what God has already done in your life, He didn't have to.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't have to.
Amen.
You realize that God created us because He wanted to. God created us for His pleasure. Listen, God is not here for us. We are here for God.
Amen.
The question came up this morning in Sunday school. What does it really mean to be humble? And there's a lot of different ways to explain that, but I don't have time to go into it. But here's the one thing. To be humble is to have an honest opinion of yourself. To realize who you really are compared to God. To be humble is to realize who you really are when compared to eternity. We are nothing. We are nothing except for what God has made us, what God has given us, and who God has done, what God has done with us. God can, but He does not have to do anything for us. God can, but He does not have to. God can mend your broken heart.
Amen.
But He doesn't have to. God can dry those tears that you cried last night on your pillow. He can dry those. But He doesn't have to. God can calm the stormy sea that your life is right now, but He doesn't have to.
Amen.
God can give you victory over sin that's controlling you, that is just leading you astray, that is killing you, that's overwhelming you, that's overcoming you. God can give you victory over that, but He doesn't have to.
Amen.
He doesn't have to. God can remove anger and unforgiveness that's in your heart right now. He can. But He doesn't have to. He'll still be God whether He does or not.
Amen.
Are you listening to me this morning?
Amen.
God can uproot the root of bitterness that's in the deepest, darkest recesses of your heart. He can uproot it. He can get it out of there. But He doesn't have to. God can save the soul. God can save a lost soul that's in darkness and despair. But He doesn't have to. God can keep you pure, young people. Listen to me. But He doesn't have to. God can give you love and obedience for your parents. But He doesn't have to. God can make you obedient. God can make you humble. But He doesn't have to. God can give you love and loyalty for your spouse. But He doesn't have to. God can give you love for your children. I would dare not ask these children to raise their hands and say, how many of you really believe that mom and dad love you? I don't want you to raise your hands. God can change that. God can change your whole family. God can change your home. God can change your future. God can give you purpose, direction, hope. God can, but He doesn't have to. God can give you a love for this book, which some of you just don't have. But He doesn't have to. God can give you a love to come to church and want to learn more about the Bible instead of just coming to be entertained and to get some candy. God can give you a love for this book. God can give you a desire for this house, His house, but He doesn't have to. But He can. God can give you a love and a desire to tell other people about Him. Which, like I said a minute ago, it's like pulling teeth to try to get people to talk about Jesus anymore. God can give you a courage to tell other people. God can make you hate evil, like we read in Psalm 97, but He doesn't have to. God can make you love Him with all your heart. God can, but He does not have to. He is not obligated to do anything for us. Has that ever dawned on you? He is not obligated to give you anything. Nothing. He is not obligated. You can't hold a gun to God's head and say, God, do this or else. You're crazy. That's God you're talking about. He is not obligated to do anything for us.
Amen.
But He can.
Amen. That's right.
But He can. He can. But He doesn't have to. I'll tell you something today. Look in Mark chapter 1 where we were. Look back in verse 17. Verse 17, God can call you into the ministry. Verse 17, Jesus said unto him, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. We had gone a little further in verse 19, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Straightway he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Some of you are never going to serve God because you can't get away from mommy and daddy's apron strings. Now listen to me. God is still calling people into the ministry.
Amen.
But you're going to have to leave some other things behind.
Yep. Amen.
God's still calling into the ministry, but He doesn't have to. God's still giving power and authority to His Word. Look in verse 22. They were astonished at His doctrine, and He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe. God gave power to Jesus. God gave authority to His Word. Many are preaching the Word of God across this country. And listen to me, but they're preaching it without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God can give that power. God can give that authority. God can back up the message with His Holy Spirit, but He doesn't have to, but He can.
Amen.
But it doesn't have to. Verse 23. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee whom thou art, the Holy One of God. Listen, the devils know who Jesus is, and so do you. You just won't admit it. You just won't stop fighting it. The devils know who Jesus is. The devils believe in God, and they tremble. The devils.
Yep.
I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. They have more respect for God than most Bible-believing Christians, so-called. Are you listening to me today? God can give you a right spirit. God can change your attitude about Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, when you have an attitude, an understanding of who Jesus is, then you have a different personality. You have a different personality. You know that there's a difference between Jesus, the Christ, the Holy One of God, and just another man. There's nothing in this world that God can't do. God can change your attitude. God can give you a right spirit. Can I say something to you? There's a lot of grumpy Christians today. Unhappy Christians. Discontented Christians. Bad attitude Christians. They're unhappy. Their lives are without meaning. They have nothing to look forward to. And the reason is because they have not let God change their attitude about Jesus. The only reason people have wrong attitudes or wrong understandings of Jesus, and we're in Mark chapter 1 this morning. Thank you so much for being here, visitors. Mark chapter 1, I'm talking about God can, but He doesn't have to. God can change your attitude. There's a whole lot of unhappy, grumpy, disgruntled Christians. There's a whole lot of dysfunctional families. Why? Because somebody has lost perspective and not understanding who Jesus really is. He is the Holy One of God.
Amen.
Even the devils know that. What do you think of when you think of Jesus? Somebody that you can get as much as you can out of? Or do you think of Him as the Holy One of God?
Amen.
The Savior of the world.
Amen.
The One who died for your sins.
Yep.
The One who has given you everlasting life. The One who has shed His blood so that you can be free from all sin and all unrighteousness.
Yep.
Do you think of Jesus that way? Or do you think of Jesus as a word that you'd use when you go to church? Or as a nice word that you use when you try to sound religious on a Sunday? Or do you really understand who Jesus is? See, God can change that attitude, but He doesn't have to.
Amen.
He can, though.
Right.
And boy, He needs to.
Amen.
I would like for you, bless hey children, you guys are riding on the van, listen to me for a minute. Listen to me for a minute. Turn your brains back on. I would like for you to come to this church and grow up in this church and come to the place where you know and understand who God is and you love Him with all your heart and you want to live for Him for the rest of your life. That's what God wants from you. Is that what you want from Him? Is that what you're looking for from this church? Or are you looking for a bag of candy?
Come on now. Amen.
Because if you're looking for a bag of candy, somebody else is going to come along and give you a bigger bag and you'll be gone.
Yep. Come on.
God can change your heart. God can give you. Listen, where are you going to end up if you do not stay in church? Where are you going to end up if you don't stay with God? Where are you going to end up? God can change your future. God can give you a purpose in life, but He doesn't have to, but He sure needs to.
Amen.
He sure needs to, and He can. And He's the only one that can. But He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. God can. He has the power today to change your attitude. He has the power today to heal your family. Look in verse 30. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon, they tell him that anon means soon, right away. They tell him of her. He came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. She ministered unto them. God healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Now, depends on how you look at that, whether or not that was a blessing. Okay, y'all wake up. I'm just playing.
Amen.
But I'm talking about God healing a family.
Right.
God making a person back a whole again where they could get up and serve Jesus. God healing a family member. God doing a miracle in a home, in a family. So many families are in such a mess that God is never going to be scratching His head in heaven. But I tell you what, if anything can make Him scratch His head, the families in this country can do it.
Amen.
But God can change all that.
Amen.
God can fix that. God can heal that. Because after all, after the end of the day, you come home from school, you come home from work, that's your family.
Amen.
And boy, if you need anything, you need your family to be healed. You need your family to be brought up again out of darkness, out of death and sickness and back to where they can serve God. God can do it. Do you believe that or not? God can. Boy, He needs to, doesn't He? He can. He's doing it right here in the Scripture. He's done it in my family. He can do it in yours. But He doesn't have to. God can cast out devils. Look in verse 34. He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. Cast out many devils. Suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. They know Him. They know who Jesus is. What am I talking about here? Casting out devils. I'm talking about things in this world that are absolute satanic. I'm talking about God getting rid of alcoholism. I'm talking about God getting rid of prostitution. I'm talking about God getting rid of the deepest, darkest depth of the sin that you can think of. God can heal it. God can cast it out. Completely gone out of your home, out of your life, out of your heart. God can do it. Amen. Do you believe that? God can. But He doesn't have to. He's not obligated to. God can cast out devils. Look in verse 32. I skipped over this, but I don't want to skip over this. Verse 32. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Look in verse 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Hey, listen to me. God can revive our city. All the city was gathered at the door. That'd be a big problem, wouldn't it? That'd be a good problem, though, wouldn't it? Big door. Better be a big building. But God can. He did it.
That's right.
He did it.
Amen.
The whole city was gathered together at the door. To do what? To get closer to Jesus. Have you ever seen that? Well, we've seen them gathered together for concerts.
Come on.
We've seen them gathered together for free food. We've seen them gather together for entertainment, movie theaters, rodeos. Yeehaw, right? We're in Texas, aren't we? We've seen them gather together for those kind of things, and they come and they go and they leave just like they came in, amen? But not when you come to Jesus. They leave different, amen? They leave revived. They leave saved. They leave helped. They now have hope. God can.
Amen.
God can. But He doesn't have to. Can I say this to you? But He sure wants to.
Amen.
He sure wants to. God can revive a city. The whole city. God can revive your home. Teenagers, God can actually make you want to be in church. But He doesn't have to. God can give you a desire to pray. Look in verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. God can make you want to pray. God can give you a desire to pray. That's probably the biggest lack in our churches. Let me ask you something. Did you pray for 5 minutes before you came to church this morning? I'm talking to Christians now that know they're saved. They know they're going to church and they ain't prayed for 5 minutes. Cotton picking minutes before they come to church. And you wonder why God's not. Because God can.
Amen. That's right.
But He doesn't have to. God can. And God wants to. But God doesn't have to. Quickly, I'm going to wrap this up. Just a few thoughts and we'll go home. I'm not done yet. God can, but He doesn't have to. Let me ask you this. If God can, you believe it. You've said amen. Let me ask you this. Why isn't He? Why isn't He? Quickly. Let's learn a few things in our text here and we'll see what we can change what God can do in our hearts this morning. In verse 40. there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Listen to me. God can do everything I just mentioned and more, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. But it's got to start with Jesus. You've got to go to Jesus. Listen, there's no hope in you wanting God to do something for you if you think you're going to go to Buddha, Baal, the psychiatrist, the doctor, the school counselor. You need to go to Jesus. God does not operate in our lives except through Jesus Christ. You have got to go to Jesus first. He is the Alpha, which means the first letter of the alphabet, and the Omega, the last letter of the alphabet. He is the beginning, and He is the end, and He is everything in between. He is God's Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, God, who can, except through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't do it. You're trying to get to God your own way. You're trying to get to God through a church. It ain't going to happen.
Amen.
You got to go to Jesus. I'm talking about going to the one who Jesus, who God sent His only begotten Son. This time of the year, everybody knows this story, but He came for one reason, because now there's one God, but there's now one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, born man, all God. Amen. You've got to come to God through Jesus. There's no other way.
Amen.
There's no other way. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. God saves through Jesus Christ. Listen to me. God will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus Christ one day. It's all going to boil down to what you do with Jesus Christ. You've got to get, if you're going to get to God, if you're going to get to the help and the hope and the power we're talking about, you're going to have to go to Jesus first.
Amen.
It doesn't start with the Bible study. You don't understand the Bible. You will not understand the Bible until you go to Jesus first for salvation.
Amen.
It's got to start with Jesus. It's not even a Sunday school class. Hopefully that Sunday school class will take you to Jesus. Hopefully that Bible study will take you to Jesus. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who study the Bible all their life and go straight to hell because they did never go to Jesus Christ for salvation.
Amen.
You've got to go to Jesus.
Amen.
You've got to go to Jesus. He's everything. God sent Him, listen to me, how much more could God do for us? He sent His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son became man, became flesh, born in a manger, lived a humble servant's life. Then He died an old rugged death on an old rugged cross, shed His blood, gave His life for us. He humbled Himself. He became of no reputation. He gave up everything, His glory, His honor. Listen, He came down to this world. They hit Him, they smacked Him, they spit in His face. He did it all for us. What else do you want God to do? If you don't go to Him, then you're out of your mind. You're never going to get to God.
Yep. Amen.
Never.
Amen.
You've got to go to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God is through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's no other way. You're not seeing that power because you haven't been to Jesus yet.
Amen.
See, God can, but He doesn't have to. He's made a way, but that's the only way.
Amen.
He's not going to do it any other way. He's not going to. He can. Oh yes, He can. And that's exciting. And He wants to. Oh yes, He wants to. But He's not going to. Except you first come to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Do you remember the day that you stopped fighting and came to Jesus?
Amen.
Well, I don't remember the date and time and exact place. But do you remember the time and the day, the situation, the circumstance, the place? Listen, when God saves your soul through the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Him, listen, you're going to remember at least vaguely that day. You're going to have some kind of basic recollection of the fact that God has saved my soul forever through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, yes, it's a gift, but it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Only through Jesus Christ. Baptism ain't saving you, folks.
Amen.
It ain't saving you. Church membership ain't saving you.
Amen.
Good works are not saving you. Sitting in this church today is not going to get you to God.
Amen.
You've got to go to Jesus.
Amen.
There's no other way to God. You've got to go to Jesus. Number two, quickly. You've got to go to Jesus as you are. Look in verse 40 again. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Let me say something to you quickly. Anthony, take him to the bathroom. Go. Go. Hurry up. Hey, everybody up here. Up here. The devil's fighting because somebody needs to get saved.
Amen.
Somebody's going straight to hell this morning if you don't get saved. You better listen to the Holy Spirit right now.
Amen.
I don't care if this is your first time in this church or if you've been here for 20 times or 2 years. You better listen because God's trying to do something because the devil's fighting.
Amen.
God can too, by the way, but he doesn't have to. You can leave this place just like you came in. But that's not what God wants, and that's certainly not what I want.
Amen.
God can change everything about you.
Amen.
You've got to come to Jesus, but you've got to come as you are. Hey, stop putting on a front.
Amen.
He was a leper, and he knew it. Stop faking it.
Amen.
Who do you think you are? I know who I am, and I know who you are. You are a sinner.
Amen.
You wake up in the morning and the first thing you want to do is sin. And the last thing you want to do before you go to bed is sin.
Come on, preacher.
That's who we are.
Amen.
This shirt and this coat, this tie, this church, this that ain't changing nothing. That's who I am. I was born that way. I was conceived in sin. I was born in iniquity. That's not going to change that. That's who I am. And then when I come to Jesus, I stop trying to fake my way through it. I stop trying to make excuses about, well, I'm not so bad. Yes, you are.
Amen.
Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yes, we all are. There's no exceptions. We're all sinners.
Amen.
We're all filthy with leprosy of sin.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, preacher, I've never done anything that bad. You didn't hear what I just said. You're born a sinner. A dog barks because he's born a dog. He doesn't become a dog when he barks. He barks because he's born a dog. You don't sin because you don't become a sinner when you sin. You sin because you're born that way.
Amen.
Stop trying to make it. Stop trying to impress me and impress everybody in your house and impress everybody in your Sunday school class. You need to come to Jesus just like you are, just as I am, without one plea.
Amen.
Who are you trying to impress? You can fool me. Listen, you can fool me all day long. But you're not fooling God.
Amen. Amen.
You're a sinner. You're bound for hell.
Yep.
You're condemned already. You don't have any hope. Stop trying to fake your way through this life. You're wasting your whole life. You're wasting your time. You can't fool God.
Amen.
Stop faking it. Come to Jesus just like you are.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Preacher, everybody's going to know that I'm a sinner. Oh, we already know that.
Amen. Come on.
We already know that. Well, you haven't seen me sin. I don't need to.
Amen.
You're just like me.
Yeah.
You're just like him.
Amen.
You're just like her. We're all the same.
Amen.
There's no exceptions. We're all born with the sin of leprosy eating us alive.
Yes, sir.
God can But you got to stop playing games and stop faking like, well, I'm not so bad. Until you keep saying that, you're going to hell.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
Not so bad or so good or whatever you think. You're still a sinner. You're still guilty before God.
Yep. Amen.
It ain't about what I think. It ain't about how I judge you. I'm not judging you. I'm no point. There's no. I have no place to judge you. But God knows your heart.
Amen.
Stop faking it.
Yep.
Stop trying to pretend your way through it. You know you're a sinner. That's all you need to know. Amen. That's all you need to know. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I need a Savior.
Amen. Amen.
You don't need to have a Bible college theology education. You don't need to be in church 14 times or whatever. You just need to know you're a sinner. And God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And without that, you have no hope. Stop playing games.
Amen.
You're not fooling God.
Amen.
You're not fooling God.
Amen.
Come to God. Come to God. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just as you are.
Amen.
You see, if he would have tried to clean up, put on new clothes, and take a bath, you know what he could have done? He would have said, well, I got saved because I got ready, and then he saved me. Then he would have taken credit for it. You see, there's a wicked, wicked, wicked teaching out there these days that says you have to get saved and get baptized in order to be saved. Lies!
Amen.
It's a lie!
Amen.
That water does nothing but make you a wet sinner. You must be saved by the blood of Christ, or else. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's not Jesus minus anything. It's the blood of Christ, nothing else.
Amen.
But see, well, I went to church and I got right with God. You didn't do anything but admit that you were a wretched sinner.
Amen.
Listen to me. This leper came to Jesus knowing who he was. Do you get the picture? He knew who he was. He knew everything about himself. He knew he was dying without hope.
Yep.
Churches today are deceiving thousands, yea, millions of people.
Right.
By telling you that you're okay. You just got to turn over a new leaf. You just got to make yourself some New Year's resolutions. You're not going to, the next year at this time, you're going to be the same person. Just as fat, just as gray, whatever you do. It's going to be, you're still going to be the same person. You're still going to be lost.
Mom.
Yep. But when Jesus moves in, the changes that He makes are permanent.
Amen.
Eternal.
Right.
Eternal life. Everlasting life. But God is not mocked. You come down to this old-fashioned altar today after I get done preaching and you say, well, God, I'm not so bad, but let me just add you to my life. No, He's not saving you.
Amen.
That's mockery. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You need to come to Him just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come, dear Lord, to Thee, my God, I come, I come.
That's right.
What are you trying to, who are you trying to kid?
Come on.
Come to Jesus just as you are.
Amen.
Just as you are.
Amen.
Many years in my life, I grew up in church. I learned to play this guitar in church for my dad as he started churches in a foreign land. I learned to play this guitar, not this very guitar, but a guitar in church. I played for songs just like the one I just sang or tried to sing. I played for other people singing. I played for church congregationals. I played for my dad as he led the music. I lived in a foreign country. I flew on airplanes. I climbed through barbed wire fences. I ran from dogs. I walked down dirt streets. I saw my dad start churches that way. And listen, I was right there with him. I was very impressive if you would have looked at me from the outside. What a great missionary kid. If I would have died, I would have gone straight to hell. I knew it. But I just kept fighting it. I just kept making excuses. I just kept being afraid of who I was going to, what they were going to think of me. Then I left my father's home and I joined the military. That's a real godly life, isn't it? No. No, it's not. And I just went on about my life like I'd never been raised in church. You would never have known I was playing the guitar for my dad in church. I lived my life just like everybody else around me. In church, I was faking it, trying to make people think I was churchy. And then when I came to the military, I faked it, trying to make everybody think I was just like them. I didn't have any church in my background. I didn't care about all that church. So all I did was put on a face for this crowd, put on a face for this crowd, and all the while I was going straight to hell.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
Just like some of you.
Come on.
You've been to church. You've prayed. You've played the game. But all along, you still don't understand how sinful you really are. I remember the day my wife said at our kitchen table, my mom was witnessing to her. And my wife bowed her head and said a prayer to get saved. But she didn't get saved. Because, see, my wife didn't understand that she really needed to get saved. She was just doing what my mom told her to do. And for about another 2-3 years, she was miserable. In church, faithful, with her husband in Bible college, studying to be a preacher. She was miserable. Why? Because she was not saved. Because she never knew how sinful she was. She said she kept comparing herself to other people. But see, God opened her eyes one day and made her see herself compared to God.
Amen. Amen.
Your clothes don't impress Him.
That's right.
Your haircut doesn't impress Him.
Amen.
Your shine shoes don't impress Him.
Amen.
Your memory verses, they don't impress Him if you're not saved.
Amen.
God can do anything.
That's right.
Exceeding abundantly above all that you can even, but you're never going to see that.
Yep.
He doesn't have to do it. He's not going to do it until you come to Jesus first, just as you are.
Amen.
Just as you are. Stop playing games.
Amen.
Stop making excuses. Stop trying to fool God. I mean, really, just stop and think about that for a minute. Fooling God. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come just as you are. And quickly, I'm going to finish with this. You need to come while you still can.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
Look in our text here this morning. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns. Jesus said that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him. Now, wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying Jesus was going town to town to town. This leper saw that Jesus was in his town. Listen to me. In verse 38 and 39 of Mark chapter 1. And listen, he knew there's no guarantee that Jesus is coming back my way. You think tomorrow's guaranteed for you?
Come on, preacher.
You think you're guaranteed to wake up tomorrow? The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It's here today. It vanishes tomorrow. Gone. When am I going to die, preacher? When God says it's time. There's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Are you ready for that judgment?
Amen.
So, preacher, well, I'm going to wait till I die. On my deathbed, I'm going to get saved. How do you know you're going to have a deathbed?
Amen.
I challenge you to go to the cemetery right now. You'll see graves full length, big enough for me. And you'll see graves, little bitty great short graves where babies are. You'll see longer graves where there's kids. You'll see longer graves where there's teenagers. You don't know when you're going to die.
That's right.
But you do know you're a sinner.
Yes,
and you do know you need Jesus. And you do know that He can save you. You said amen a minute ago. He can.
Amen.
But you're trying to fake it. You're putting it off. This leper, I guarantee you, this leper was glad that he came to Jesus.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Amber, do you regret getting saved? Brother Jeffrey, do you regret being saved? Miss Tabitha? Anthony, do you regret being saved? Do you regret that you're going to heaven? He can't figure out what regret means. No, thank you. Miss Ophelia, do you regret getting saved?
Oh, no.
How about you, Isaac? Do you regret the day that you came to Jesus? Do you wish you could change it?
Come on. Amen.
So you can't say that because you're not saved.
Come on.
You're sitting there about ready to die. You're about ready to preacher, shut up and let me go home. I'm about to die. You need to get saved.
Amen.
What are you doing? What are you waiting for? Death is too late.
Amen.
You may go out here and have a car wreck and get brain damage and you'll never be able to think straight again. You're too late. You're going to live the rest of your life a vegetable. You can't get saved. You don't even understand what I'm talking about. Was God going to hold me accountable? Yeah, because you could have done it now.
Amen.
But you waited. But you doubted. But you feared. But you made excuses. But you tried to fake your way. You tried to impress me. And tried to impress your husband. Tried to impress your wife. Tried to impress your kids. Tried to impress mom and dad. Tried to impress the preacher. You're not impressing God.
Amen.
God can do everything for you that He's done for anybody else. He can. God might be calling you to preach. God might just want you to go to the mission field somewhere. But you're trying to fake your way through. God hasn't called me. I can't do that, preacher. There's nothing that I can do for God. And you're just going to keep on lying and faking it and trying to make... And God's going to say, okay, fine. I'll find somebody else that will. And all along, you're missing all the blessings of serving God. See, God can use you.
That's right, Mark.
But He doesn't have to. And He won't if you don't come through Jesus just as you are when He calls.
Amen.
He's not, you can't say, well, God will come back and call me later. Where's that in the Bible? It's not there.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. It's not guaranteed God will ever speak to your heart again. It's not guaranteed. Noah built an ark. For 120 years, Noah said, it's going to rain. God's going to send a flood. We're all that's going to die except for everybody that's in this ark. For 120 years, and the Bible says, I will not strive with my people, with the hearts of men, any longer than 120. God gave him 120 years, and then that was it. And then God sent rain. God shut the ark door, and nobody else got in except for Noah and his family, 8 people, and that was it. They all died. Because they ignored the warnings. Bow your heads. Close your eyes, please. No one looking around this morning. God can. But He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to save you. He doesn't have to use you. He doesn't have to call you. He doesn't have to bless you. But He wants to. And He can. Our Heavenly Father, bless your word.